We're so very glad that everyone is here tonight, especially those who are visiting with us. We are especially glad that you are here and hope that you will be back every time that you have opportunity. I thought tonight we might take a break for 1 week from our book-by-book study through the Bible, and we will pick back up with Hosea next Sunday evening, because a few Wednesday nights ago, the men had decided upon the overview of our budget and things of that nature, that there would be a short presentation regarding the budget and the financial situation of which we were in, which was not bad, but it was simply laid before the congregation, and there was a challenge made, and you met and exceeded that challenge. And sometimes it's good for us to be encouraged by the good things that are done. And this congregation did a good thing in meeting the challenge that was laid before us as a congregation to meet those things of which we were helping others in and meeting the demands of the work that we had undertaken. And in doing so, we were able not only to look at what had happened as far as the increase in the last 2 weeks, and look toward a brighter and hopeful future, but likewise look to the far future in hope of new and better things that we might be able to do as a congregation, not only in the work here, but likewise in spreading out and reaching those who are both here and abroad, and doing all that we can in even more detailed and better fashion in bringing souls unto Christ. And for that, upon the behalf of the men, we are very thankful for the response that you gave to that challenge. And we are thankful for the good work that you've done the last 2 weeks, and look forward to many more years to come in working together in this capacity. I'm reminded of a group of people with whom Paul was similarly pleased, and that was the church in Macedonia. And in 2 Corinthians and chapter 8, you remember that Paul had on a number of occasions been pleading unto various congregations for financial aid that would go to the saints in Jerusalem. And the financial crisis that they were facing, inasmuch as they were now having to do more as far as helping those who were in need after the influx of citizens following the Feast of Pentecost, and the fact that many of them had stayed, not yet been able to find work, and so were not being able to support themselves. And so Paul had been going around and had been making pleas on their behalf to send money and to help them as best as their brethren could, so as to relieve that crisis. And in 2 Corinthians 8, Paul was making a similar plea to the Corinthians and uses the Macedonians as an example of giving. And beginning in verse 1, he says regarding that group of people, "Moreover, brethren, we do you to the wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty, that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God." It thrilled Paul, inasmuch as a man could be thrilled, to look upon the church in Macedonia and to recognize the zeal that they had for the work of God. And no doubt that zeal that the Macedonians had was in part an influence by Paul's presence among them, but nonetheless they were zealous about good works. And I remember that Paul made a plea to Titus that we should all be zealous in good works. Well, the Macedonians took that to heart. And when Paul made the plea to them, he says that they met that challenge and exceeded that challenge. And for that he was thankful, And for that he complimented them, patted them on the back, and used them as an example unto others who perhaps needed some help in their giving. The reason for which they were given was to enhance the work of the church. Now, you can use the word enhance the work of the church to refer to a number of areas. In the Macedonians' case, they were enhancing the work of the church by being able to do more by way of benevolence. But depending on what congregation you look at and depending on what situation in which they find themselves, the idea of enhancing the work of a local congregation can take on many forms. And yet Paul's encouragement and Paul's thanksgiving was because they had willingly accepted that challenge to enhance that work, to do all they could to further it, and the result was an outpouring of abundant generosity. Well, just as Paul was so very pleased with the church in Macedonia, I would dare say that we all should be pleased with the effort that this congregation has made to meet this challenge, to exceed in this challenge, and to do all that we can to not only live up to the works that we've already undertaken, but likewise to look forward to new works that hopefully we can also involve ourselves in to further not only the cause here at Pleasant View, but likewise to further the cause of Christ worldwide. So tonight, what we would like to do is simply look at some of the compliments that Paul made toward the church in Macedonia and realize how that you have also lived up to some of these expectations that Paul had in Macedonia. And for that, you are to be commended. First of all, when you look at 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 5, you find that he makes mention of them answering in a great trial of affliction. Again, in verse 2, he said how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Now, specifically with reference to Macedonia, we find him making mention of this great trial of affliction as being deep poverty in Macedonia. And you can only imagine the situation in which they were faced, living themselves in deep poverty, and yet Paul coming to them and asking them for even further financial assistance so as to be able to help other brethren. And yet Paul says that even in the midst of poverty, they abounded in answering Paul's plea for help. Now notice that he doesn't just say that they answered the plea. He says that they abounded in answering Paul's plea for help even in the midst of deep poverty. How is it that a group of people, even in the midst of deep poverty, can answer a call for further financial assistance in addition to what they're already giving? They trusted God, very simply put. And because these brethren trusted God, they trusted Him to provide for them even in the midst of financial crisis in among themselves. Is that not the very idea that Christ had in Matthew 6 and verse 33? When He said, "To seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Well, all of those physical blessings that He had just mentioned there in chapter 6. All of the needs that we have in life. God recognizes the needs of man. There are some things that we simply cannot live without. Now, there are some things that we think we can't live without, but we actually can. But God recognizes that there are some things we cannot live without. Our Lord promised that upon seeking His kingdom first, upon seeking His righteousness first, all blessings that are needed shall be added to us. God is not going to allow us to be in want of our needs when we're doing all we can to serve Him. The Macedonians knew this. They knew that even if they gave everything they had, God was not going to leave them in want of what they needed. And so when Paul made that plea for help, even in the midst of deep poverty, they answered that call and abounded in answering that call. Well, I can't say that even in our society that any of us is suffering from deep poverty. But I will say one thing, that we are living in a struggling economy. And we don't know one day to the next what we're going to have to pay for those things that we do need. And yet even in the midst of not deep poverty, but a struggling economy, the men of this congregation made a challenge to us. And even in the midst of this struggling society in which we live, this congregation answered that call. And so in a similar way as the Macedonians, they answered in a great trial of affliction. And in a very similar way, this congregation answered in the midst of a great trial of affliction. And for that, you are to be commended. Secondly, in verse 4, Paul says, not only did they answer in a great trial of affliction, but he said they answered with proper intention. Notice verse 4 again. Praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. Paul made it very clear as to what this offering was for. And I think congregations err when they make a plea and don't specify what they're pleading for. Brethren want to know how the congregation is spending the Lord's money. And you have every right to know. And that's why the men decided, even though it was being posted on the bulletin board every month anyway, to make it even more accessible by putting the monthly financial report in the bulletin. You have a right to know where the money of this congregation is going. Well, Paul specified very clearly. This money was not going to quote-unquote pad the balance. He said there are poor brethren in need. And we are asking you to join with us in the ministering to the saints. And so he emphasizes where the money is going, what they're expecting to give it toward, and he simply laid it before them. And as informing the brethren as to the need and the area of help, we find that the Macedonians very readily answered that call. And they did so with that proper intention in mind, realizing where that finance was going to be going. Well, the area of need that the men of this congregation placed before us was different. It wasn't necessarily to be going toward a specific group of people, but we did try to emphasize the specific work to which we were going to be needing. And the desire of this congregation to help in as much as we possibly could was seen by the answer of that challenge that was made and your recognition of these specific areas that were in need. Your willingness to answer this call is similar to that of Macedonia. We tried to be as specific as we could as to the need, and you were generous in your response to the call. And again, for that you are to be commended. Number 3, at the beginning of verse 5, Paul said that the Macedonians answered in excess of expectation. He said, and this they did. What did they do? Well, they answered the call in an abounding nature. But he said, not as we hoped. Now, I would dare say if someone were to come to me and say, well, Andy, I made this expectation of you, but you didn't do what I hoped you'd do, I would begin to fear that maybe I'd let them down somehow. But that's not at all what Paul's alluding to. He had indeed expected the Macedonians to answer the call, but in this case, we see that they didn't fall below expectation. They exceeded expectation. And in that, he was very, very grateful because they recognized that need, they lived up to expectation, and exceeded in that expectation. Well, the initial plea that the men of this congregation placed before us was made in order to fully cover everything which we were already doing. But I would dare say that the answer this congregation gave, if it continues as we hope it does, will not only allow us to cover what we're already doing, but in the future will allow us to begin new things, to look to new areas, to new opportunities. Again, not only here in Pleasant View, but also abroad. I'm reminded of Matthew 6, verses 20 and 21, when Christ said regarding the idea of treasure and one's personal treasure, that we're not to lay up for ourselves, or we are to lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through or steal. Because where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I would dare say that the last few weeks, as well as through the life of this congregation, that you have laid up an abundance of treasure in heaven. And for that, we are not only thankful, but God is thankful, because it's His work to which that money is going. And then number four, at the end of verse 5, Paul made this response, that they answered in spite of self. He said at the beginning again that this they did, not as we hope, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. What was the reason the Macedonians were able to answer this call so very heartily? Well, it was because they had first given themselves to God. You see, brethren, when we give ourselves to God, everything else follows in suit. And that refers not only to our efforts, but likewise to those possessions we may have. We recognize they belong to God anyways. It's just a matter of giving them back when the need arises. Well, the need had arisen in the case of the Macedonians. Their brethren were needing help. And so the Macedonians saw the need that arose, and they answered that call. They did as were expected, and liberally they gave all that was needed so as to help their brethren to get through life. Well, we find likewise that there's a cause that is greater than us, and that is the cause of Christ. And as Christians, though it may not be expected of us, there should be the willingness there to give all that we have if it means but one soul be saved in the end. You remember that poor lady in the New Testament gave all that she had. Well, it wasn't much, but it was all that she had. And Christ commended her above the wealthy who gave in abundance of what she had. And yet for the sake of the cause of God, she was willing to give it all. The Macedonians were of a same nature, and based upon the response of this congregation, I dare say that you have the same attitude as did they. Willing to answer even in spite of self. A lot of times the willingness is there, but sometimes there's something that tends to hold us back. But that's what we must push through, and I would dare say that that is exactly what happened. In 1 Timothy 6, verses 6 through 8, Paul had this to say, that godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. What did our Lord say regarding His financial ability, His estate, so to speak? He said, the birds of the air have nests, the foxes of the earth have holes, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay His head. Well, was He saying that to complain? No. Because I believe that He is exactly the one whom Paul is speaking of. He was content for what He had, for what was given to Him, for who He was. He was content. And brethren, we have great blessings, especially in this country. We don't have to worry about where we're going to sleep at night. We don't have to worry about where our next meal is going to come from. We don't have to worry if we're going to have clothes to wear the next day. God has blessed us in an abundant way. And our challenge as children of God is to be content with that which God has blessed us with. I believe that we are content. This congregation has made it very clear that in our lives we are content and willing to further contribute to the cause of Christ. And though we've answered the challenge laid before us for a few weeks, the greater challenge, I dare say, lies ahead in the future as to allow this generosity to continue, not to anyone's glory or to anyone's gain, but that of God. And again, on behalf of the men of this congregation, we are thankful for that answer. We're thankful for that response. And we only hope that you trust us to handle that as you have in the past. Tonight, there might be the case that you are here and you are not a child of God. The greatest blessing that can be bestowed upon us is found in Christ. But if we're not in Christ, that blessing cannot be enjoyed. If you're here tonight and you are not in Christ, then the only plea that we can make to you is to do that which is necessary to get into Christ. God has made it clear through His Word what He expects of us in order to have our sins washed away, that if we would hear and study for ourselves what the gospel has to say, believe that Christ is the Son of God, repent of those sins in our lives, confess our faith before witnesses, and then submit unto the command of baptism for the remission of our sins, then He will redeem us, add us to the church, adopt us into His family, and one day save us in heaven forever. Or if you're here tonight and you are a child of God, yet you've turned back into a lifestyle of sin, then a similar plea is placed before you to come. But this time to come back, to rededicate your life, restore your soul unto your first love by repenting of your sins, confessing them, praying to God for forgiveness, and His promising to us at that point is that He will then cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you're here tonight, subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we plead with you to come now while together we stand and sing.